Well, good morning again. You know, I just had someone approach me after that set of worship, and they just felt like the Lord gave them something, and it's worthy to share, okay? I won't always do that, but this is worthy. She said that song just spoke to her about how worry needs to be shaken. Worry needs to be shaken and just put to rest under the power of God. And I don't know about for you, but I needed that worship this morning. Is anybody else with me? I needed it. I personally needed it. So good morning again. Now, we've been talking about in this series, Beyond Sunday, a definition of worship, okay? And that definition we've been working with is giving devotion or praise to a higher power. So when it really comes down to it, we worship, okay, whatever we place our highest value upon. And I don't know about for you, okay, I'm just speaking for me. I don't know about for you, but for me, depending on where I am in life, and even depending on what my day brings, that which I am tempted to place my highest value upon is ever changing. It is sometimes ever fleeting. I mean, it could be based on what that day brings, what the demands of that day bring. It could be based on, you know, maybe who's blowing up my phone on that day. You ever have those days? Right? Or maybe it's even the events that are going on in that day. I don't know what it is, but do you ever feel like you're just kind of tossed around by the waves of life? So with that said, I feel that I need something more stable. I need something more steady than that to give my greatest attention to. Don't you ever feel like that? Well, church, that's our God, friends. That is our God. And what we worship and what we place our highest value upon, it really is what we order our choices by. It is what we surrender our wills to. And again, okay, I want to do that, and I think you would too. I want to do that with something, and I should say someone, that is never changing. Because you know what? That will result in order versus chaos in my life. So in the case of us, those of us who are Christians, this worship and this devotion and this attention is to be to our God and upon our God. And I'm telling you what, not just on a Sunday and not just through lip service, but in how we live our actual lives. 24/7, church. So with that today, we're going to discuss what some of that looks like, okay? What it looks like to worship God with our private lives. Because last week we talked about our public or our corporate worship, what we do and why we do what we do here together on Sunday mornings and the power in that. But today what we do is we talk about the rest of our life. We talk about the rest of our week. So with that, I want to ask you to stand, if you would, as we publicly read our main scripture of the day. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Thank you. You can be seated. Now, in reading this, we see something. We see that the context, or the catalyst, if you will, of our worship is something called mercy. Did you see that? The Bible said, in view of God's mercy, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, right? So we don't, okay? And this is good. This is important. What I'm about to say is good. It is important because it is from God. We don't worship to obtain mercy, church. But we worship because we have already received mercy. Now, if you were here a couple weeks ago, you know that we talked about the contrast, didn't we, of Old Testament worship and the worship that we are invited to engage in now as a result of what? As a result of Jesus, as a result of his death, as a result of his resurrection. The sacrificial system has been eliminated because Jesus has paid the final sacrifice. How long and for who? Once and for all. And he did this through the shedding of his blood. And so here, okay, in our reading of Romans 12, the Apostle Paul, he highlights this fact. Because we need to know that we have already been recipients of God's great mercy. All because, again, of Jesus' ultimate sacrifice. A sinless man dying for our sins. A sinless man taking on the wrath of God meant for each one of us. Upon himself, he took that. You see, this is mercy. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy is not getting what one deserves. And in the case of our relationship with God, mercy means that we did not and will not get the death that we deserve as a result of Jesus. As long as we place our faith in Jesus. So with that said, the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, that discusses the mercy of God. So then as Paul turns and gets us into chapter 12, what we just read, he starts with what? Did you notice it? He started it with therefore. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, do what follows. That's what he's saying. That's what the therefore is there for. You see, because of this mercy that has already been given, because of that, we worship. Now, another contrast to the Old Testament worship is that animals had no part in determining what was to be done with them, right? No choice, in other words, regarding being a sacrifice. Those animals had no choice in that, right? In the Old Testament system. I want us to never forget that Jesus did. He did. He had all choice. He had all power. He had all authority. Yet he died choosing you. He died choosing me. He died choosing us. He died to buy us mercy. And in thinking of us as humans, I don't know about you, but I thank God, church. I thank God that we are not like animals, for we are human beings. You are a human being made in the image of the living God. And thus, we have choice. We have choice when it comes to the mercy that is extended to us through Jesus. We have a choice as to whether or not to even receive that mercy. And we have the choice in regard to what we do in response to that mercy. In other words, the choice to follow him and truly worship him by being a living sacrifice, which includes with our bodies and with our minds, as we read, or with our desires or with our motivations. We have the choice to do that or not. But, big but, we are trampling upon his mercy if we choose not. That's what's really going on. In other words, what the Bible is clear on is that private worship is holistic. Private worship is holistic. It involves all of who you and I are. You know, when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, most of you know what he said, right? It's in Matthew 22, verse 37. He said, love the Lord your God, didn't he? With what? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, with that said, one of Revive Wesleyan's written values is worship. And our explanation of that value is that we worship God every day. Every day. How do we worship God? In awe and in wonder. And get this, our written value also says we worship him every day with our thoughts and with our speech and with our actions. So I'm telling you what, worship that is living, worship that is alive, and worship that is holy, and worship that is pleasing to our God, it is not confined to a Sunday morning song. It is not confined to a purely spiritual experience, but it is worship as living sacrifices Our true and proper worship is lived out in everyday life with all that we are. And that means, you know what that means? That means, for example, that what we do, what I do with my body matters to God. It matters, church. It matters because what we do with our body shows what we value with our soul. We should live in such a way as to make it clear that our bodies belong to God and not to Tim Hortons and not to, and this one hurts, I really like McDonald's. We need to worship showing that our bodies do not belong to McDonald's but to God. Again, that hits close to home. We need to worship as if our bodies, because they do belong to God and not to nicotine or alcohol or not even to my boyfriend or my girlfriend. We should live in such a way as to make it clear again that our bodies belong to Him and not to things like essential oils or to the gym, and not that any of that is bad, but do you see how sometimes we take all that stuff to an extreme, don't we? They don't even belong to ourselves, these bodies of ours. They belong to God. In fact, look at how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Do you remember what we talked about, all that Jesus did? You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor your God with your body. Church, if we are going to get private and physical with our worship, then we need to treat our bodies as vessels. Vessels of holiness and not self-indulgence. Vessels of holiness that we then give sacrificially to the work of our Father God. Now please, okay, I am not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about that. We won't be there until heaven, but what I'm talking about is we are to be moving toward that. We are to be growing. We are to be changing. We are to be transforming through the power of the Holy Spirit of God and our hard work, our commitment, our leaning into all of that. There's a guy named James that wrote a book in the Bible. Do you know what he said? He said, faith without works, it's dead. So we are to be putting some work into this. But our works, okay, this is important. Our works are fueled by a right view, a correct view, an accurate estimation of God's great mercy, church. Now, going back to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, I want you to keep in mind that the city of Corinth, do you know what? It was notorious for immorality. Notorious. They even incorporated it into their religion, where worshipers at the temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of love, they practiced religious prostitution. In fact, at one point, the temple employed, get this, 1,000 priestess prostitutes. And in addition to that, there were at least 11 other temples scattered about the city, each with its own god, each with its own goddess, and a different way of worshiping. I say all that to say this. Imagine, if you would, the shock of these Corinthian Christians reading this letter from Paul. Imagine their shock to hear that their bodies were mini mobile temples of the living God. It was very countercultural. Very countercultural to what they were used to then. And dare I say, this message today is pretty countercultural to our seduction-based, marketing gold mine-based minds. And all the warped ways in which we treat and we view our bodies and others. As Christians, God's presence is within us. And our bodies are to be holy. Our bodies are to be set apart. The Corinthian Christians were not, and we are not, empty vessels, you see. They were not empty vessels, and we are not empty vessels. We are not empty vessels without meaning, that we can treat any way that we want to. Now, this is not a sermon specifically about sexual immorality, okay? But the point here is this. What we do with our bodies, church, it matters in worship. It matters. And yes, it is so tempting to think we can indulge every bodily desire all throughout our week and just show up here on Sunday to engage in true and proper worship. But I don't know, that doesn't seem like what Paul's preaching here in his letter, does it? To the Romans and to the Corinthians, does it? Now, with saying that, is there grace and is there forgiveness for those things and those times when we indulge in behaviors that degrade our bodies? And is there healing? Absolutely, church. But this is not the pattern of living that you and I as Christians should seek out. One where we are coming back to the well, if you will, back to God again and again to receive mercy and to receive forgiveness for the same sin again and again. We need to slay sin. Slay it. We need to slay it, the sin that we are engaged in via our bodies through the Holy Spirit's power again, and our hard work, our commitment, our follow-through, us putting up what we need to put up to stay on path with God. Not, again, hear me, not to earn mercy. Don't miss that today. Not to earn mercy, but because of his great mercy. So let's agree, church. Let's agree to offer our bodies. Let's agree to grow in offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. One holy, one pleasing to God. For this is our true, this is our proper worship. And think about this. A dying sacrifice can only offer itself once. But a living sacrifice, as we are called to be, continually offers itself, doesn't it? Each and every day and all throughout those days. And it does so as worship to God for his great mercy. That's just quite a thought, isn't it? We have opportunity every day, every hour, every moment to live from a posture of thankfulness to God. And I got to tell you what, being a living sacrifice is not just about abstaining from certain behaviors. It is also about using our bodies, these gifts we've been given, in ways that we may normally not. For example, it might mean you not parking in front of the Joyland if you're physically able, so that others who aren't physically able or so guests can, so they can have a nice spot. It could mean that, right? I know, JP. You roll in so late, everybody's here already. Just kidding, bro. But that mentality, right, that could hold true even for the grocery store, couldn't it? I don't understand, and sometimes I'm guilty. I'm always looking for that closest spot. Why? I can walk. It's good. But that could be true. Being a physical living sacrifice could mean, do you know what it could mean? It could mean sitting with a friend or a family member who is grieving and just entering into their pain simply through your presence. I know it's hard for us to go in those spots. We don't know what to say, but your presence is so important. Being a living sacrifice could mean simply showing up for others. Even when you're already tired, I'm already tired after a long day, maybe it's just showing up for others a little bit. Or maybe it's mowing an elderly neighbor's lawn or getting down on the floor. Get this one. Maybe it's getting down on the floor and playing with your kids. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's helping your spouse. Maybe it's helping your roommate with the dishes. Or it could be even serving with children or teens at the church. What I'm saying is half of ministry, church, is simply showing up. Half of ministry is simply showing up and being healthy enough to. Because you see, being a physical, being a living sacrifice, that also can mean taking better care of our own body, okay? All so that we have more energy, all so that we have more strength to be that living sacrifice for others. It could be eating better, it could be going for walks, it could be stretching every day. It could be going to doctor's appointments. I got to tell you, I have a doctor's appointment this week. I don't like going to the doctor. I got the thing to go get blood done. What did I do, Laura? I grumbled, didn't I? I don't like that stuff. But I'm going to press on. I'm going to do it because I want to stay healthy, guys, for God's glory. He's given me this body. Being a physical living sacrifice, you know what? Some people might like this one. It could mean taking more time for intimacy with your spouse. Could mean that. Or it could mean raising your hands in worship, but also lending a hand to someone around you in need, maybe with a home repair. And consider this, perhaps the way you need to think about offering your body as a living sacrifice is rest. Maybe it's that. That's a blessing to our bodies, right? Taking a Sabbath and not using our bodies for a whole day, for a whole 24-hour period. Can you imagine that? For an offering to God? Saying, God, you know what we're saying in doing that? We're saying, God, I trust you. I trust you. I'm going to let you run the world for these 24 hours because I trust you. Now, we don't have time to go into it all, but there is a direct connection between Sabbath and worship. So no matter what it looks like, our bodies, okay, they are a key part of our worship. And if you question that right now, just think about Jesus Christ. Think about your offered Lord and Savior or your received Lord and Savior. He gave his body on our behalf, right? And his was not just a spiritual sacrifice, but it was a very painful, it was an agonizing, physical, bodily sacrifice, an act of obedience to his heavenly Father. So, if we are to follow his model, which we are, then we cannot leave our bodies out of worship, church. So how might God be asking you to offer your body as a living sacrifice this morning? What needs to change? What sin needs to be slain in the power of the Spirit? Now, in the process of doing all this, we find out something. We find out that worship forms us. Worship forms us. You see, a number of times throughout Scripture, God is referred to as the potter, and we as humans as the clay. For example, he molded us in our mother's womb. But did you know that he continues to mold us? And I'm not just talking theologically, but scientifically, okay? Our brains, which kind of look like Play-Doh, right? Our brains are not static. Our brains are something that always have the opportunity to change, and they are changing. In fact, babies are born with their skulls not fully fused together, right? You know that. Because their brain is still what? It's still being formed. And it continues to be formed through adolescence, where the brain is not fully formed until like the age of 25, I think. So, side note, when you say to your teenager or your young adult, what were you thinking? They actually can say to you with some certainty, I don't know. But get this. Get this, even though the brain is fully formed around 25, the pathways of our brain, do you know what? They can be reformed. The pathways can be rerouted all throughout our lives. But as adults and Christians, I'll tell you what, we need to be intentional, way more intentional about that and pursuing that. In fact, things like exercise and focused prayer and learning new things, reading, okay? That forms new pathways in the brain and can reform, it can repair old pathways. Which, you know what, that all is really interesting because all of that sounds a lot like our key verse of the day, doesn't it? Romans 12:2. What did it say in that second part? Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing, right? The renewing of our mind. And it is then that you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I don't think Paul was a neurologist, but he sure seems to know by the leading of the Holy Spirit and as he observes life, he seems to know that our minds have the propensity to be formed by all sorts of things. And so he warns us, right? That's what he's doing here. He warns us to not let them be conformed to the patterns of the world. And this phrase, it more specifically means to the patterns of a period of time, or an age, if you will, in which one lives. So it refers to the values of a particular time and a particular place in history, including ours, which includes our families of origin. It includes our town. It includes our geographical location, our country even. He says, don't conform to them, because unlike the Word of God, these values, you know it as well as I do, they change over time. And in culture, you could fly not that many hours away to another country where there is completely different values. Or if you even look back at our own country, you would find that some of our values have changed over time. So you see, a part of worship, a part of being a living sacrifice, is doing the work. And it's hard work. I won't say it isn't. It's hard work, but it's good work. It is doing the work of figuring out which values in our families, which values in our culture, which values in our time period align with the Word of God and which do not. And it is deciding which values you won't let yourself conform to. And then by continually renewing your mind, staying clean in regard to that. Or being transformed in regard to that. If there are some things that need to change up here, in order for you to stay away from those influences that threaten to have you and I, to have a hold over us. And FYI, if you just allow everything and everything into here, into your mind, if you allow everything and anything in here without questioning it, without holding it up against the Word of God, then you will be conformed. And it might be in a slow fade kind of way where one day you wake up way over here and you're like, how did I get over here? But one day, if you're not intentional about that, you may wake up way over there and wonder, how did I get there? You know, for me, I'm going to share a little something. I really like country music. I do. I like the rhythm of it. I don't know. I like it. I grew up with it. And again, I'm not saying everything's bad in moderation and things, but you know what? When I listen to country music, I can't not hear about drinking a lot. That's what it's about, right? And again, I'm not some prude. You're like, I can't have a drink as a pastor. You certainly can if you're not in leadership. But it's like, man, that's carving some waves up here, isn't it? Like, this is okay. This is fun. But all of a sudden, I could wake up where? Way over here. And I've dealt with that. I've seen that in people's lives. You got there again by little compromise after little compromise all along the way. And just being mindless, or you could say lazy, in regard to worshiping God with your mind. Because worshiping God includes, and it means, engaging our mind. It means guarding our thoughts. It means being alert in regards to what gets in here. In fact, 1 Peter 5 says, be alert and be of sober mind, because your enemy, who is the devil, church, your enemy, how does he do this? He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And elsewhere in Scripture, we see that he only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he can do that subtly to you and I, through our minds. If we aren't thoughtful, if we aren't careful, if we aren't intentional about what we let in here. And let's be real, when it comes to worship, when it comes to giving devotion to a higher power, I think you'll like this statement. Attention is the beginning of adoration. Attention, when you start to give attention to something, that's the beginning of adoration. So pay attention. Pay attention to. Be careful about what you spend your mental energy on and what you spend your mental space, even the space that nobody else knows about except you. Be careful about what you spend that on. Be careful. And remember, God knows. You're not hiding anything. And all of this is important, church, because this, again, it's a part of our worship. It's a part of our private worship, our response to the mercy that has been shown. A response to the mercy that has been given us through Christ. So let's take captive, as the Word says, every thought. Let's take it captive. Let's work at making it obedient to Christ. Again, not perfection, but growth, change, transformation.
Let's pursue some rewiring up here, okay? And let's confess to him at the end of the day where we have gotten our wires crossed. I get there at points. Let's confess that. Let's confess when we've ingrained some paths in our minds that are not of him. Let's confess it. Let's ask for some help, and let's pursue change. Maybe even things we've picked up from culture or our families that we've just repeated that aren't of him. I don't know. It might be how you view, how you treat certain people or things. Or maybe you picked up from your family or your culture or whatever that maybe it's something with regard to sin, that you can just justify certain sins and think that grace just covers that up. But we come back, don't we, to the well again and again, saying, forgive me. Again, that's trampling on grace. We need to move forward. Now, I got to share one last thing. Last week, we talked about worship together, our corporate gathering, right? Like we're doing right now. We talked about that place that it has in our relationship and in our life and in our connection to God. And it's how we come together as a family to worship him together and to grow and to celebrate and to proclaim what he has done. Well, what I want to say today is that our private worship, our worship all throughout the week individually, well, as it gets richer, as it gets more real, as it gets more intentional, God is more glorified when we come together in that. I want you to think about it like a bonfire for a second. As we come together, we each bring maybe this log to the bonfire, right? And if we bring a healthy, large piece of lumber to that bonfire, because we've been close to God, we've been close to the Spirit all week, that fire is just going to burn hotter, isn't it? It's going to burn brighter. But if maybe I bring a small, damp twig to the fire, it might not even help the fire, it might hurt it, right? It's going to dampen our light and our fire. Or maybe we have no log at all we bring because we haven't even thought about God all week. We come here to get instead of give. But our bonfire suffers for that together as a church and as the body of Christ and as a presence for his kingdom's glory. And what I want you to know is no matter what log you bring today, whether it's a burning log, it's smoldering because you've been close to God all week, or whether it's a damp one because you really haven't been that close, or maybe you have no log yet at all because you haven't thought about God, whatever it is, he's just glad you're here, okay? But what we got to realize is all throughout the week, our journey with him allows us to bring something that we can contribute to a bonfire that can burn bright for him. So think about that. What kind of log are you bringing each Sunday? What kind of log and how close are you to him throughout the week? I want to invite the worship team forward. And what I want to do right now is I just want to pray together. I want to pray together just this idea of giving God our mind and our body and just confessing that maybe there's areas we realize today that we need to have some growth in that. And again, not to earn anything, but because of what he's done. So let's just bow our heads and pray in regard to that. Dear God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we come here today to present our bodies, to present our minds to you. And we present these things to you as a living sacrifice. We present all parts of our bodies, all parts of our minds, Jesus Christ, to you as instruments of righteousness. Our bodies include our minds that you have bought with your blood, and they belong to you. So we come to give that back to you today. Our whole body is a temple of your Holy Spirit, and we renounce in this moment every way that we have misused, every way that we have abused it, and we bring those acts under the atoning blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we come here today to rededicate ourselves to you. And we ask that your blood, God, would wash over us anew, to cleanse us once more, to make us holy. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would come now to fill our temple, which is your temple. Fill our bodies with you. Fill our minds with you. Restore us so that we allow you to have rule and dominion over our life. We thank you, God, for forgiveness. We thank you for mercy. And Lord, we just want to walk with you. We want to not have that chaotic life. We want to have a life of order. And that's by worshiping you. It's by following you. So Lord, help us to do that today and throughout this week. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.